Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Just finished watching the Cards and the Saints and the Yankees and the, what's that team? The Astros, team you can never beat. Lots to talk about there. We're going to go over 6 NFL games, 3 college games, and I'm doing it all with my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I should mention Mikey Meatballs, Eddie Spaghetti fiddling with the knobs. I don't want to leave them out at all. We're all a team here. Yes. Yeah. So coming off this Thursday night game, finally, you guys want to talk Yankees first or football? You want to ease into it? Up to you, Parlay Kid.
Let's just talk Yankees.
All right. Get over with.
Let's get it over with.
I thought this was a game they were going to win. I picked them over 3.5 runs. They did not score 4 runs or more. They lost 3-2. And worse yet, Parlay Kid, they've now struck out 30 times in 2 games. Do you have words? I mean, we said all the pressure was on you, not even the Yankees, you. And how you feel with all this pressure?
Yeah,
now?
Well, look, I'm handling the pressure pretty well, I feel like. It's I'm holding up pretty well, concerned that it's...
Oh. This is a dumb game we play. I don't understand how anybody wins or loses, but go ahead. Parlay Kid. 30. I don't listen. I've been watching it, and 30 strikeouts, and
it's tough to watch.
But so, also, but it's they're tough. Not getting. Are they getting overpowered? I know it's a weird thing to say.
I feel like
Nolan Ryan and J.R.
Richard? These Astros pitchers have very live arms. I mean, everybody coming in is throwing hard. They're throwing.
Yeah.
You know, they got not only their power pitchers, but they throw. You know, they throw strikes. They don't really. You know, 30 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. To 4 walks, that is some ratio there for that staff. And it's not like I think the Yankees are chasing pitches out of the zone too often. I mean, Carpenter did on that last at bat.
Right.
But frustrating to watch. So it's really, you know, when your team doesn't hit, it just makes it seem like the team is flat. It just, there's something about it. And, you know,
Spaghetti hates watching them bat. Spaghetti, you hate watching this team bat at this point, right?
I hate everything. I mean, every at bat starts 0-2.
No, you hate everything, but we're talking specifically baseball and the Yankees. And no, go ahead. Yeah,
every at bat seems like 0-2. And I was talking to Parlay Kid before that we started this about that. It's just like they're not drawing walks, but every at bat's 0-2, 0-2. And yet the announcers are like, well, a lot of Astros players jump on the first pitch and they get hits. It's like, why aren't the Yankees doing that? And like, you know, we just brought up Carpenter. That at last at bat, the first pitch was 90 miles an hour. I mean, it could not have been a more perfect strike down the middle of the plate. Like, swing at that. You got to put the ball in play. They're not putting any balls in play. There's no runners on the bases. No one could steal bases because of that. And just, you're not like, they're not a small ball team, but you're clearly not hitting home runs. So maybe change it up and start to do stuff like that. It's just so frustrating. It's like a slow bleed out.
But also, they are hitting home runs, but people are deciding to open roofs. Give us your semi kind of like a conspiracy thing.
Well, it's not a conspiracy. It's just the pure stats that basically the judge hit the ball 106.3 miles per hour and a 28 degree launch angle, only traveled 345 feet. Similarly hitted batted balls, they travel an average of 414 feet, which clearly would have been a home run. So obviously the roof being open let that, and you know, it was the shortest ball ever hit with those stats with the exit velocity and the launch
That's
angle.
Nuts.
So it's again like the second time all year or whatever this roof was open, this happens. It's pretty unfortunate. And reversely, you know, Bregman's home run probably wouldn't have been a home run in any other park.
Bry, you've given up. Bry, you gave up on them on the when they went out down 2-1 or 3-1, right? Or 3-0. What was it? 3-0.
Yeah, 3-0. I mean, I said this is how it was going to go, right? I said on the pod, I said they're going to lose 3-1 or 4-2. It's the same game over and over again, right? They hold, you know, they play close for a little bit and then a home run. And then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I feel like in order for the Yankees to win a game in the series, they have to be up like 3 or 4-0. I feel like they have to be up 3 or 4-0 in order to win. I don't see us come from behind ever. And and like they were saying though, you might as well jump on the first strike if you can. Although the Yankees were swinging at some pitches out of the zone tonight too. So can't really, I guess you can't necessarily always say that, but it doesn't matter working the pitcher in this case, because if he goes five, if he goes seven, who cares? Because their bullpen is great. So
yeah. All right. Astros minus 550. Parley kid, you're not biting on the Yankees plus 460. And this thing is favored to be over in five now at plus 225. Mm-hmm. Any of those numbers jump at you other than the minus 550?
I mean, I think I don't think you could take the I do think the Yankees get a game here at home. I mean, it would be great if they could win on Saturday and make it interesting at least for another game or two.
You got three in a row now.
Somehow find a way to take it back here to Houston, even if it means they're down 3-2. At least make the Astros sweat it out a little bit.
But Dave,
we'll see. I mean, not like the Astros are hitting the cover off the ball right now either, guys.
I was just going to say that. Lose both, and Yankees lose both, and Altuve can't hit.
That's what I mean. And I thought Severino was real good tonight. So, the Yankees staff has done what we needed them to do. But this is why it's great.
The Mets are out of it. I'm loving life. I can root for Andy Dalton to cover a 10.5-point teaser here. I took the Saints plus 10.5. Cardinals win 42-34. At least it was exciting, right, Harry? There was points in this game.
Sure.
There was 76 in this game, and there were 40 in the last 2 weeks combined on Thursday Night Football. Al had a little pep in his step talking about the over or alluding to it. Andy Dalton, very strange stat line. You don't see four touchdowns, three interceptions, two pick sixes a lot. But he had a 30 for 47, 361. It was a game. They were winning 14-6. And then Arizona went down. I don't know. They scored. Then right before half, Dalton throws two pick sixes, three interceptions. And they were down, 28-14 and a half. And then it really wasn't a game after that, right?
Yeah, not even a ton of offense. And it's still Arizona. Yeah. Still wound up with 25 points in the second quarter.
Well, you had them. And you had the over, right? And the rest of us had the Saints and the under. And forget about first touchdown, because we're never, ever winning again when guys like Rashid Shaheed are catching them. I mean, he wasn't on your radar at all, was he, Bri? Like, if you didn't take, would you have taken Rashid Shaheed? No?
No. It's hard to say his name.
It was hard enough for me to say Juwan Johnson, and he scored two touchdowns the last two. I swear to God,
even if we saw that option and I was like, I like this guy, I would not have taken him, because I would have probably botched his name.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You just want to take the Taysom Hills and everybody who easy enough to, even Greg Dortch is a tough pronunciation. But anyway, 42-34. I said this is a loser leaves town match. I do believe it. The Saints are 2-5. I liked them in the beginning of the year. I think they played tough some games. This wasn't really one of them. We're going to see this with Winston every Thursday. He's going to be questionable, and he may not play, or he may play. I like watching their offense when it's clicking, Olave and Kamara and some of these other guys, but they turn the ball over too much. I mean, they're minus 16 plus minus turnover differential. Yeah, that's not good through 7 weeks. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, Harry, are a half game out in the West.
Yeah, I mean, crazy, right? I mean, plus... Rams off this week, so half game back.
Unbelievable. All right, 42-34. There you go. We'll try to do better on the first touchdown, or we'll ditch the category altogether. Should we pick another category? Paulie Kid, find us a new category to lose at, because we're not good at this.
It's so bad.
I mean, we were plus 80-something units, and I think it should have been more
historic last year. And because it was our first time really doing that last year, it was kind of like, as a matter of fact for us, like, oh, yeah, we're just – hitting these bets, no big deal.
We just hit again.
And then, it was like, okay. I mean, not realizing, how probably that was maybe once in a lifetime. Now it seems like it's once in a lifetime.
I guess so.
It just happened to be our first go around, because it seems impossible right now.
The Rashid Shaheeds have taken over our world, and we can't catch up.
It's crazy. What are we going to do?
But also, last year, you look at some of the ones that we did hit, some of the wacky ones that we pulled out of our butt somehow, like the Miami at 39-1 against Baltimore.
Oh,
I mean, Sal, you had a crazy one too. I mean, but boy, we were at 87 units, Bry, right? 87
yeah.
units.
Yeah, I mean, I got both college games right, back to back.
Is it possible?
Championship, yeah.
Because they don't have, and I know I'm right on this, but when it comes to that first touchdown, they don't have the field on that, right? There's no field, right? It's almost like
I wish you could choose the field. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there'd be like 10 to 12 guys that had lines, and then the field, even if it was like, you know, plus 300 for the field.
This guy would have been field, right? Rashad, I didn't see anything.
I mean, you can't even find these guys that are scoring. We can't even get odds on them.
Yeah, I know it. I don't think they have
dude who scored for the Chargers a couple of weeks back. We didn't have that Horvath or whatever. There were no odds on him.
Starting to think we should get our money back if we don't see them on the line.
No, I don't see these guys anywhere. Anyway, all right. So that's that. Big news, right? As the game was going on, fourth quarter winding down, Christian McCaffrey traded to the 49ers for not two first-round picks like Carolina wanted, but a 2 and a 3 next year. A 4 in 2023 and a 5 in 2024, if he's even still in the league. Even that seems like a lot. And especially for the 49ers, Pauly Kid, who we were saying, they kind of just plug anybody in and they do the job, right? I mean, I'm not
unless they're saying McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Right. And unless they're saying, well, we're going to plug him in and he's going to do more than the job. Right. You know, he's going to carry us. Mm-hmm. From what I read, I think they said the 49ers don't have a pick in the top 150 now next year.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is good for a quarterback who really can't do damage beyond 3 yards down the field through the air. So maybe this is the perfect spot for McCaffrey and Shanahan to figure it out. But I don't know. Do they have odds now on the 49ers? I wonder what this would even be. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Harry, you looked before. You said they didn't even have it.
I didn't see anything.
They didn't have it.
I mean, it gives them what does it jump them up by? Like if they were,
they're minus 110 to win the division. Who else is, the way they listed is, okay. So Rams are plus 155. Cardinals are 11-1. Interesting. At a half game out, 11-1 with, by the way, we didn't mention Hopkins definitely played a role tonight, right? 14 targets, over 100 yards, I think 10 receptions. And Seattle at 11-1. So Seattle and Arizona are both 11-1. All right, so that's interesting. McCaffrey's a 49er. The Panthers stink. Now it's between Chuba Hubbard and who else? Spaghetti Foreman? Was that the Texas running back?
Yeah, Dante Foreman.
Yeah. Right. All right. All right, so they're done. So let's short them as much as we can. I wonder if do they have Carolina wins? Did they take it off? Now I'm interested in all this stuff.
I mean, what would it be? Two and a half?
I don't see it. I know they're even afraid. Everybody's afraid to put it up. They don't want to put it up. They don't have playoffs. They don't have over-under wins for Carolina. I get that
up. It's smart. They should trade whoever they can get. And then, you know, then you get a top two pick in the draft. Then you have these other draft picks. That's how you got to – it's the only way.
Yeah, you can on Caesars go worst regular season record, Carolina plus 150.
Oh, let's do it.
Mm.
Right? Right.
Right? I don't know. How many times I have to play this? San Fran plus 110 or minus 110?
Like
what did I say?
Minus 110, you said minus. I like that.
Yeah. Wait, I'm concentrating on Carolina now.
Who's next?
Houston
on that list?
Houston plus 275 and then the Bears 5-1. I kind of like all of those.
Less pressure on Garoppolo to do his, you know, to do a lot of extra things.
The way the Bears have been playing, though, right? They're going to win like two more games, right?
I mean, Harry, this will be good. Brian and I will have a conversation about the worst regular season record, and you throw in stuff about the Niners to win the division. And we'll see if we can patch it together and make it a full conversation, actually. All right. Do all that on Caesars. But if you want to play this contest, lots of fun, extrapoints.com/arcade. There's $100 bills available. There's gold caps, prop quiz, the pick'em contest. Do that, extrapoints.com/arcade. I told you about Caesars. Let me tell you a little more. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, let's take a quick break. And then six NFL games, three college games, Sharp Tank. We're going to do it all when we return.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Week seven is maybe week seven, W-E-A-K seven. Like it, see what I got? Bills, Rams, Vikings, and Eagles all off, which makes the matchups a little rough. We might have seen the best one tonight. Saints, yeah. And Saints there against the Cardinals. But Parlay Kid, Detroit, Dallas, 7-49 is what I'm seeing. You're going to go Dallas. I'll give you my reasons for taking Detroit, but try to convince me otherwise. You go in Dallas, lay in the points.
Yeah, I mean, Sal, the excitement of Dak being back under center there for the Cowboys, I think, is big. I think the Cowboys are very happy to be in this spot, but they know these next two games coming up, especially with the Eagles playing as well as they are and already having beaten the Cowboys, that these two games – starting this week against the Lions are huge. They are must win for the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys offense will find its rhythm quickly with Dak. I think they found out what works for them, what doesn't work for them over the last few weeks. I think Dak will excel. I think we'll see receivers like Gallup get a little bit more involved now with Dak being back. And I just think this defense, and let's face it, the Lions' defense hasn't been good. It's been rather atrocious. And Dak usually lights those type of defenses up, And conversely speaking, the Cowboys will force Goff into some major mistakes, at least two turnovers there from Goff. They'll apply pressure to Goff, who's not not very mobile inside the pocket, pressure him, force him to some turnovers. I think this is a Cowboys – big win, 35-17, Cowboys in a route.
Nice, Cowboys in the over. All right, listen, it seems like a get-right game after Philly. At least get healthy in terms of Dak coming back. You're right. And I looked at the Lions, that last hideous outing before their bye versus New England when they didn't score, and I'm like, wow, Micah Parsons is going to eat them up. All these guys, Diggs. We have Dak coming back. He's 3-0 against the Lions, as you mentioned, has success, hadn't thrown an interception against them. I think he has 9 touchdowns, no interceptions against them. 126 passer rating, I remember. The Lions, now here's why it's great for Dak. He probably doesn't have to do a lot offensively because the Lions are 31st in the league against the run. 167 yards a game they give up. All this, and I still think the 7 is too much. I think it just it's all pointing towards us, and that's where I get nervous, and I feel like we're going to be down 10-0, and eventually we'll catch up. We'll go ahead. Goff will turn it over late. We'll grind it out with Zeke and Pollard against that suspect rush defense. But the Lions are 5-0 against teams with a winning record against the spread and 6-0 against the spread after a loss of 10 or more points. Dan Campbell, Parlay Kid, might have the coaching advantage here. I just a weird feeling. I just think it's going to be close. I'm going to say 23-19. Go ahead, Harry. You're humming in there. What do you think?
No, I think Dallas wins the game, but I think Detroit covers three of their four losses by 4 points or less, and they get DeAndre Swift back too.
Let me just say, we go into this week, I'm like, these games suck. Bills, Rams, Vikings, Eagles are off, and there's like 8, 6, or 7 point favorites in here. I could see like three of them losing. I hope it's not ours, parlay kid. Let's just get through
this.
No,
you don't hope that, suck, because you're going to have like parlays all over the place with all these teams. So
yeah, money line parlays.
Yeah,
could be a fun game though. This is one of the seven point games that could be fun games.
Yours is too, Bri. We won't go over. I didn't even list it.
Houston because Raiders. Houston isn't fun. The Lions. I mean, no. Lions weren't fun against the Pats, but they at least with Swift back and St. Brown healthy, they could.
Is it the feisty team that came back against the Eagles, or is it the ones that just would like play dead against the Patriots? Yep. I guess we're going to see that soon. All right, Giants at Jags. Now, Pauly kid. This is the fishy and phony full of crap line of the week. You and I were, about 5.5 points off. So I guess this Sunday night, Monday, you posed the question. I was like, the Giants should be favored. Why are the Jags favored by 3? 43 is the over-under. I'm taking the Jaguars only because I'm going the other way. And I don't know. I was looking at it. I broke it down a little bit. Giants 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 road games. Jags definitely better at home. They can't win on the road. They almost have to. They almost have to throw their games out. I don't know. Giants 31st in passing, and there was no pass rush from Jacksonville last week against the Colts. So that works perfectly. They couldn't sack Matt Ryan. They had 58 tries. He dropped back 58 times. They couldn't sack him, but they're 4th in rushing, so they'll keep it close. One thing about Lawrence, he was 90% last week, and the Jags held the Colts defense, the Colts running game to 45 yards. Weird game, weird line. Yeah. They're home. Giants on the road. Jags 24-16. Bri, you're with me.
No, I'm taking the Giants.
You are?
I'm why taking the Giants. Jags? I don't know why you wrote. I don't know why you
come
wrote
on,
it.
You're with me. Come on. Just be with
well,
me.
Well, look, I mean, the line indicates that the Giants have been lucky, right? That's essentially what it says. But I cannot back the Jaguars here as favorites the way the Giants have been winning these close games, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like at best, this is a close Jaguars win at best for them. Mm-hmm. Again, nothing indicates that Jags win this game easily. They lost 3 straight. They lost to the Texans at home where they looked horrible in that game, right? The Giants, again, have just coached really well so far. I think I'm going to say they win, unfortunately, because I hate them so much. I'm going to say they win another close game.
Wow. All right, Spaghetti, you gave your pick on extra points this morning. I think as long as the Giants don't strike out 30 times in the next 2 games, you'll be all right. Now, you like them to win.
I do like them to win. You know, this McCaffrey trade is pretty interesting. This is more down the road for the Giants. But, you know, DJ Moore, he could be on the trade block, could go to the Giants. It's an interesting option. They need a receiver help.
Interesting.
You know, with this game, I think Kafka and Daboll know that the Jaguars could stop the run. They know that the Giants, the bread and butter is to run the football. So I do expect them to do more trick plays like we've seen some of those games with Daniel Jones with the rollouts and the quarterback draws. Daniel Bellinger at tight end has been a good, really good rookie for the Giants, too. So I don't think he'll, you know, he's protecting the football. He's playing efficient. I think he'll have an okay game. You know, if Trevor Lawrence loses this game for the Jaguars, it's pretty, you know, is he a bust? Like, I'm not going to call him a bust, but I have to say, like, he's not stringing together a lot of good wins, a lot of good games. Like, Carson Wentz this year has had better games than Trevor Lawrence. So he hasn't really gotten crushed by the media yet. So I think the Giants, you know, they win this game down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Brian, what was the game we were watching? Like, everybody was late on. I mean, they beat the Chargers 38-10, right? Yep. And they can't win in the division on the road, but they won 38-10. We were watching it together, and everyone race to the booth to bet the Jaguars to win that division at plus 150. By the way, that division's still a mess, so they might be able to do it. I think Spaghetti's right. Like a couple more of these, it really has to land squarely on Trevor Lawrence's shoulders, right?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I will say it's been kind of a mix, right? They've had some bad turnovers in games. Obviously, the Eagles game was solely his fault because he was just dropping the ball back there like it was nothing. But that some of the guys have not made plays for them inside the 22, or they've turned it over. So it's not all on him. But they have to beat some of these other teams that aren't really that good. But
yeah, I don't know. A bunch of cupcakes on the schedule, and they can't take care of business for a lot of these. All right, another weird line. Jets involves another New York team at Denver. Mm. Denver favored by one. Let me make sure that's still the case. Denver is, because this has been moving around.
I think it was 1.5.
It's 1.5?
I thought it was
higher,
before.
Right? Was it like 3 or 2.5 at some point?
Originally.
Yeah. And now it's moving around and it's 1.5, 38 is the over under. Look, the Jets have been playing better than Denver for a solid month. Like there's a nice sample size here. And Denver's on a short week. And Denver's quarterbacks are splitting practice reps, Brett Rypien and Russell Wilson. And I think they split the Subway ad proceeds too. I'm not sure, but look, I'm excited about the Jets like everyone else. This would be some run, though. You look at these quarterbacks, though. Jacoby Brissett, Skylar Thompson, this is who they've beaten. Brissett, Skylar Thompson, Kenny Pickett, maybe Brett Rypien, and Aaron Rodgers, all losers, every one of those guys. I do think Denver's defense presents problems. They're fourth in the league. They give up 16.5 points a game. And I actually also think Brett Rypien is going to be, I don't know, could be more of upside than Russ right now, who has been awful. It might be because of these various injuries, shoulder, hamstring, all that. But I'm going to take Denver with the slightest of covers. The Jets are 6-14 against the spread in the last 20 against a team with a losing record. Denver wins it slightly, 16-14, Harry, who do you like?
I'll take that with you, Sal. I got Denver as well. And this Rypien, in 2020, his only start in the NFL, he beat the Jets and Darnold. And Denver scored 37 that game. And he looked okay. Jets have not won 4 road games, by the way, in a season since 2010. And they have 3 right now. They probably will get to 4 at some point, but I don't think so on Sunday, Sal. I agree with you. The next 3 are tough East games that maybe the Jets are focused on. They get New England, then they get Buffalo, then they get New England again. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is Denver needs this much more than New York does. Broncos head to London next week. Got to get this game at home. Judy, Sutton, Hamler got to step it up here, get this team to 3-4. And it's weird to say, but Denver could easily be win here, 5-1. Listen, they lost to Seattle by 1.
Come on.
Indy by 3 and the Chargers by 3.
I don't want to hear it. 80% of their games, they play bad.
I mean, I'm not defending
80% of their games they shouldn't be winning.
I'm not defending the Broncos, but they could have been 5-1. But even to get 3-4 here, you're right. But they beat the Jets here.
Yeah. All right. Don't talk me out of my Denver pick, Harry. This is a bad team. This is a bad team who might get lucky on Sunday, but that's it. All right. Two more teams that we're not in love with. Indy and Tennessee. I feel like they played 2 weeks ago, twice in 3 weeks.
It was going to be 3 weeks ago, but two games in three weeks.
Because, right. I think this line should be 3 whenever these two teams play each other. It's 2.5. Tennessee's favored. 42 is the over-under. Tennessee already beat them in Indy, right? The Colts are a bad 3-2-1. The Titans are a bad whatever they are.
3-2.
I don't know. Maybe it's 2.5 because it's a Colts revenge factor that's fresh. The Titans are a weird team. They average 298 yards. They average 408 yards allowed. But I think this is their week. It's weird because I picked the Indy to win this division, and now I'm picking Tennessee to sweep them. But the Colts allowed, as big as a comeback win that was against the Jags, they allowed 243 rushing yards to the Jags. I think that continues. Henry has his biggest day of the season. He had 114 against the Colts a couple weeks ago. So not much asked of Tannehill. Danico Autry, 2 sacks versus Ryan and his former team a couple weeks ago. Also, pressure keeps up, something the Jags couldn't do last week. I'm going to stick with the Titans here, 23-17. Parlay Kid, you like them as well.
I do, son. It kind of goes against what I normally would go with because usually I do like when teams play so close together, I would usually take the team that lost the first time around to win. But I don't know. The Colts, they had an emotional win against the Jaguars last week. I mean, in this division, I guess any win is a good win, even though you won at home against Jacksonville. But seems like it was a very emotional win for them. While the Titans are resting up, getting healthier, coming off a bye week, Henry has been rushing the ball pretty well his last few games, especially against the Colts. The first time around, the Colts are having a hard time stopping the run. And they're also having a hard time running the ball.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bad recipe to beat the Titans. So I'll take the Titans here, like you, Sal. Coming off the bye week, just a little fresher of the teams. A
lot of credit with Matt Ryan. I guess he deserves it, right? No, Jonathan Taylor's been out, and Hines went out almost immediately after that. It's weird how they're winning these games, but they're a 3-2-1 team. Kansas City at San Francisco, now down to 2. 49ers catching 2 at home, 48.5 is the over under. I like KC here. I don't know. I'm a big KC fan. For you know, everybody seems to hate them, and you know, like they'll be 5-2 if they win this game. And this is supposed to be their toughest stretch. They had 85 road points against Arizona and Tampa Bay. I know they lost to Indy. That was a bad one. But Mahomes is having a Mahomes type of year. 17 TDs, 4 interceptions. I get it. When the defense is healthy for the 49ers, that they're a different kind of force. But they have Bosa, they have Hufanga, and Ward probably all out or struggling and playing, right? Yeah. You know, half their games, 14 or fewer points for the 49ers. I think I'm going Andy Reid's team. 31-20, which was the Super Bowl score. Harry, you're going under. Now, Harry, you got in a rut last year where you took the Chiefs over in like 3 games in a row. And now you've maybe learned your lesson. You're going under here.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. The Bills defense did give Kansas City fits. Kelce was great, but he can't really do everything. San Francisco's defense did give up 28 points last week, but that was the first time all year they've given up more than 20 at home. I think they're going to make Mahomes really work for points. San Francisco is averaging giving up just 8 points per game so far at home this season. And in San Francisco games this year, either San Francisco or their opponent has scored 15 or less points in all 6. I think this is a close one. I'm not sure who wins. I think it's like a 23-20 type of game, but I'm going under 48.5. I think it's all a right. lot.
That's fair. I can't argue with any of that. I'd like to argue. Should I argue with any of that, Parley Kid? I don't know. I want to argue with something. The 49. All right, we'll move on. It's late. It's very late. It's after midnight for these guys on the East Coast. Let's cut
an over-under on Yankee strikeouts for game 3.
Come on. That's not right. That's all right. Come on, we move past that.
It's funny, Sal, with Harry, because it's very easy to talk about another person's teams when you don't have a team.
Well, that's what I tell Todd Furman this all the time.
You can't say anything.
Right, Harry.
You have no team. If you wanted to have a team, you could say, Sal could say everything he wants about the Yankees. Harry, you cannot say a thing.
Yeah.
You have no, you're a sports fan without a team.
Yes.
Should I say?
In all sports. In every single sport, Harry does not have a team.
Should I bring back the Braves? I don't know. Should I be a Braves fan again? I don't know.
No.
It's too late now.
No, I don't know.
You should be a Coyotes fan.
Can't get any better than what I had in the 90s with the Braves.
A Suns fan and a Cardinals fan. That's what you should be rooting for.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I agree. No, he has no passion. He doesn't even back his bets. He doesn't have money on these games. How much are you putting on under 48.5, Harry?
I don't know. I had 550 on the Bills last week, didn't I?
You did? All right, well, that was your pick.
He did. Roll it over, Harry. Roll it over.
Right. I apologize. Pittsburgh at Miami. I had a tough time picking this. I went back and forth. Is it still 7?
I think so.
It is 7, right? This was the Sunday night game. 7 and 44.5. I look at it and I'm like, this is too many points for an NFL quarterback to cover, one that's coming back from injury. Who knows what kind of shape he's going to be in. They're on a 3-game losing streak, this Dolphins team. Pittsburgh surprised us. They were a double-digit underdog to Tampa Bay and then won the game. And so now are they going to get smoked by 20? Well, of course, the possibility. I'm seeing maybe Trubisky over. Has anyone seen anything on this? But they're a little leery about bringing the kid back early after he had a concussion. But this defense is game, and they get Fitzpatrick back and you know, they only allow 24.3 points a game. I think they can score about 17-20. Chase Claypool, jump back out. I don't know, Bri. Why do we like Steelers so much? I think it's like 26-22 Dolphins right there.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I can't, in all honesty, I can't believe Tua's back already this week. I thought he was going to be out one more week. I know it's 3 weeks, so the time is there. But like, I just thought, I mean, how bad it was, I thought he was going to be out.
Yeah,
but I think 7 is just too much. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense last week played really well against Tampa, right? I think Pittsburgh's going to look to put a lot of pressure on Tua, see if they can rattle him early. You know, I don't know. Will the Dolphins have Tua back there throwing a ton? I don't know. It'll be interesting. Yeah. And we'll see who starts, you know. I think what Pittsburgh should just do, start whoever you want. I mean, don't start Trubisky, but bring him in and like the the second quarter. Don't have him be let him close games, I guess. Maybe he's just better off that way. Just
maybe.
You know, when teams are prepared for Trubisky, it's probably easy.
Right.
And, you know, maybe when he comes in late in game. So
they switch it up. Right.
Yeah. No. I think this is like, I was thinking the same thing, 23-17, 20-17 type of game. So I'll take Pittsburgh in the points.
Yeah. I mean, he made some good throws, Trubisky, right? Kept some drives alive and kept the ball out of their hands. For a team that can't run the ball, the Steelers, they bled the clock there at the end. That Tampa didn't have a chance. Here's my Harry stat of the day. The Dolphins have beaten the Steelers by more than 7 points just one of the past 9 meetings. Dates back to 1998.
Like you like the
You like that one. I like that one. That's out.
Harry's right. I guarantee Harry's on the Steelers this game.
Are you, Harry?
No, I remember I was on them last week when I gave out I thought that it was a shady number there, but not this week.
Okay. Well, listen, Harry, we're going to take a break. You can think about that stat all you want during our break, and then we'll be right back. All right, college football. Harry's making us cover this game. I get it. Syracuse is 6-0, Clemson 7-0, but the line is 13.5. This is one of those weird games where you don't want to. I'm pretty sure Clemson's going to win, and I'm taking them to cover. This is Harry's fake alma mater, Parley Kid. You say he doesn't have anyone to root for. This is the team he roots for the most, right? Harry, would you say unconditionally for the last 45 years?
Let's go Orange.
Only when they're good.
That's true.
You only hear about it when
Harry
they're good.
Harry took the under this year on Syracuse.
You did? That's right.
It was like under 2.5, and he took the under.
He wants nothing to do with them when they're bad. You're right. Who was the quarterback? That was a Syracuse quarterback, right? That he wanted, dare I say, he wanted to replace Eli Manning?
Yeah, Nassib.
It was Nassib, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, Harry. Oh, you need to apologize to Eli. That's not looking good. Hey, DJ.
Never got his chance.
DJU, for as bad as he was to start, and like we gave up on him, 1665 yards, 17 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions.
Yeah, his numbers pretty are good. Yep.
Yeah, he's doing all right. A couple 4 touchdowns rushing, over 300 yards rushing. Will Shipley has almost 600 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns. I like this Clemson team in this spot. They're 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 conference games. Harry, you don't see, this is what I mean. You have no faith in your team. You're jumping on the under.
I do have some faith in the number 14 ranked Syracuse Orange because I am going to take under 49.5 because I think they're going to win. They're going to keep this close because of Dino Babers' defense. Syracuse in 6 games is giving up just 13 points per game. They have 17 sacks. They forced 9 turnovers. Clemson's leading receiver is Antonio Williams, who's a freshman. He's getting 47 yards a game. Meanwhile, Clemson's defense is pretty good also as well. 17 sacks, forced 11 turnovers, allowed 20 or less in 5 of their 6 games. Last year when these two met, just 31 total points between Dino and Dabo. And it goes under again this year, under 49.5.
That Garrett Schrader kind of is like a good game manager kind of quarterback, right? Throws around 70%, but you know, low interceptions. But
70% is good for college, though, right?
That's what I mean. But I think, it's all pretty manageable offense right there. It might be good for your under. All right.
Syracuse can run the ball pretty good, keep the clock running, too.
This Oklahoma State, I don't even know why we're doing this, Parlay Kid. I mean, they just kill me. If I bet for them, against them, I was done with them. And then I took them. It was my bet ache. They're up 26-13 in the fourth and lost to TCU. And now they're catching 6. 60.5 is the over-under. And I don't dare take either team. Now, they'll screw me with the over.
Take a team.
I'm taking the over. I can't do it. What am I? I would take Texas, but if I bet against the team, especially Oklahoma State with the injured quarterback, I'm going to lose, right? They allowed 40 to TCU. I know it went to OT, but the point is no lead is safe with them. Bijan Robinson, great year already, over 1,000 scrimmage yards, 11 touchdowns. He's good to bust out big runs. The over is 4-0 in Oklahoma State's last 4 against a team with a winning record, and just 5 out of the 6 Oklahoma State games have gone over. They had a solid defense last year, but now They're 106th in passing explosiveness. You know what that is, Harry? Passing explosiveness?
Tell me.
What'd you do? It's
my mic.
Well, I think we know what passing explosiveness to Harry has a different meaning.
Right. A whole different ball game.
Right. That's after a visit to Taco Bell or something. Yeah, no, it's how often a defense limits big plays. And so they're not good. Texas scores 37 a game. They'll get almost that, I think. 36-31 final. Parlay kid, good, do so at your own risk. Oklahoma State.
Yeah, well, look, you know, Oklahoma State's my team this year, so I got to roll with them here in this game. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Sanders is not playing in this game.
No, I know.
I don't think he's been ruled out yet. I know he's battling through a shoulder injury, but I'm going to roll the dice here in the fact that he's starting. And even if he's not, Sanders, you know, he never puts up huge numbers anyway. So there's a possibility his replacement could put up similar numbers. OK State's their homecoming weekend here, and they're coming off a devastating loss. Gundy's a good coach, underrated coach.
Yeah.
I think he's a great motivator. I think after that loss last week, he has his team laser focused. I think they kind of shut down Texas's running game, and they win a squeaker here. So I'm going to say they're going to take them straight up here on the money line, Sal, in this game.
Wow. All right. Good for you. All right. We'll be watching that one close. Now, this one's the best one, I think. UCLA, I don't know why I'm getting excited for Pac-12 football. I might be going to a game. Might be going to Oregon, Utah in a few weeks.
Oh, it's nice. Like
Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving. I might be going to that. Anyway, Oregon, 6-point favorite, 70.5. I'm going to take the Ducks. First top 10 meeting between these two. Actually, first top 10 meeting between any Pac-12 teams since 2016. Isn't that crazy, Harry?
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, wow. It was the Pac-12 championship, Washington and Colorado. Chip Kelly, 6-0, doing great for UCLA. They're fun to watch. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, last two games, as good as anyone, really. 75% completion, 9 touchdowns, 1 turnover. Beat Washington, beat Utah. Zach Charbonneau. Charbonneau leads the Pac-12 with 123 rushing yards this season per game. The defense is what worries me a little. They've given up 30 or more in 3 of their last 4. And 192 rushing to Utah in the last game that they won. Meanwhile, Oregon, 22 wins in a row dating back at home, dating back to 2018. Number one offense, Pac-12. Bo Nix, I didn't actually think this would be the case, but he's fit nicely into Dan Lanning's offense. 20 touchdowns, 3 turnovers. Number one rush defense in the Pac-12, which is what I like most about this game. I think that's going to make a difference. Really a totally different team than the one that just got demolished by Georgia. I think they keep it up. 7-0 in their last home, 7 home games against UCLA, 38-30. Give me Oregon. We're at odds again, Brother Brock.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a fun game. Really tough to predict. But I will say, yeah, Oregon, I mean, they don't lose at home. There is nobody who bets against Oregon more than I do, though. I think historically, really?
I feel like you've gotten mad at the coach. You were getting mad at Crystal Ball.
I mean, I've bet it probably the 2 times I bet on them, Crystal Ball screwed me. But I remember lucking out in that Stanford-Oregon game when they were down huge late and it came back and I lucked out. But in general, I think I bet it. I mean, I think I had Utah against them last year.
You're all over them because they're the best team that plays late in the day, and you have a problem, and so you have to have money on the Oregon games.
I mean, that's fair. Thank you. But yeah, 22 straight. But this UCLA team is really good. I mean, at least from what we saw in that Utah game. And again, maybe I'm overrating them because of that Utah game. But Thompson Robinson and Charbonneau have been great. UCLA's line, what has been, you know. They have been really good too. So I think they're going to be able to run the ball really effectively on Oregon. Yeah. And if they can defend the way they defended Utah and for a large portion of that game, and if they can limit Oregon to like the low 30s, I think they could pull out this game and win it. But I'm going to take the 6 because I do think this is a really close, high scoring game that is not decided until the last 5 or 6 minutes.
Who do we say for the conference here? Ducks are +160, Bruins +190, USC 3-1. So they have a loss now. Utah 4-1 with a loss. What do you? I guess. So it's really if you like UCLA in this game to win, this is the time to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
The +190.
Yep.
All right, there you go. We got through it all, but Sharp Tank. brother Bri, Parlay Kid. Take it away. Actually, Parlay Kid, you do it. This UFC card, Mikey Meatballs said it's top five of all time.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Really?
Well, we don't know. We haven't seen it, but it's just schedule-wise.
Well, the last time, remember, I think the last, and I agree, on paper,
yeah,
it sure looks like it could be, and Mikey knows what he's talking about when it comes to this. But I can't recall recently when we thought it was going to be a really good card.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a bust, right? I forget when that was, but I don't know if that's going to happen in this case. So I'm going to roll with a parlay, money line parlay here. Jan over O'Malley. I think Brother Bri would say this. We watch Jan. I mean, his last two losses against Sterling really could have been wins. I think the one time illegal kick to Sterling when he was down, when he was dominating the fight. In the last fight, he lost a split decision, which I know Dana White was not happy with that decision. So in my book, he's really has maybe one loss in his career. He likes to fight inside. Tough fighter, likes to get up guys up against the cage. I think he'll just be physically stronger than O'Malley. O'Malley's going to try to keep him at bay with that reach. This is only a three-round fight. I think Jan's going to be able to tear him up for three rounds. Pretty confident in that one. And then Sterling Dillashaw. Dillashaw hasn't fought in about 15 months now. Sterling has been battle-tested against in these Jan fights. I just think he'll be a little bit more sharp than Dillashaw. He gets the win as well. Plus 115 parlays.
That's
Jan
a fun one.
And Sterling.
That's
yeah,
a fun one.
It's fun.
Yes. Interesting. Bri, do you have a UFC? Well,
yeah, I'm going,
Mike,
yeah, I'm going UFC. Go ahead, yeah. And the reason why this card is so good, it's like you have a fight earlier on. I mean, you have Bilal Muhammad, Sean Brady fight, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
I mean, that's early on. You have the Dariush Gamrot fight too. Another awesome fight. You're not even thinking of those fights before some of these other main fights. So, but look, I said earlier when we were talking, I just wanted to kind of sit back and enjoy this. And I really wanted to just enjoy the Charles Oliveira fight because he's probably my favorite fighter in the UFC.
And he's an underdog, for God's sakes.
He's plus 160. So I have to take him, right? To me, he's the most well-rounded fighter in the UFC. I mean, he can knock you out. He has the best submission game. He's had an amazing run for 4 years. So I'm so excited for this fight. And I was calling, after his last fight, I was calling out. I wanted Khabib to come out of retirement. But this is almost the same thing as fighting Khabib in terms of Makhachev. Makhachev might even, probably has a better stand-up game. And look, Makhachev's been awesome. But we haven't seen him yet against the best fighters in the world. We haven't seen that yet. I mean, we saw, Bobby Green, what he did to, or Hooker, what he did to. Mm-hmm. He struggled one fight a long time ago against Chris Weidt, a former New York State wrestling champ from Islip.
That's true.
He struggled in that fight. I mean, that was years ago. Who cares? But it's crazy to me right now that he's the favorite. And maybe he'll prove he's as good as the odds. But there's so many different ways that Oliveira could win this fight.
I know you love him. Yeah.
So plus 160.
Oh, he's so fun.
Plus 160. I mean, I it's going to be really interesting when Makhachev takes him down, what happens on the ground, if he can just avoid that submission game the whole time. Crazy.
Meatballs, we missing anything with this card? You like those picks?
Yeah, I like all those picks. One I really like, it's minus 200, but Gamrot to beat Beneil Dariush. I think minus 200 is a little low in this case. I know you're still laying 2-1 there, but I just think this is going to be domination from Gamrot over Dariush. I do like, if you want to parlay that, I'd play him with Barallo, too, on the prelims. Ozdemir, who's an underdog on the prelims, I like. And then I did hear a rumor that Mahaev, who is the second fight versus Gordon, had a very tough weight cut. And Malcolm Gordon's plus 750, so I do think that might be worth a look.
This is the highest I've seen. This is a prelim. Mahaev minus 1600. Gordon plus 750. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, I see him. Great. Yeah, and it's a flyweight, and a flyweight, anything can happen. Their fights are always good there. So
yeah, interesting.
It's not a bad idea.
All right. You know what sucks though? You know what is a bad idea? Making this great card right in the middle of the day. I think I'm going to miss it. It'll be over by 2:00 Pacific time. Will you even see this parlay, kid? You're gonna be driving.
No, I won't see it. I'll be at games. I'll be traveling. Whatever it's gonna be.
Oh man!
But not when I say miss it. It's not like I'm not following it. I'm following it.
I got
round
you.
Fight by fight, round by round.
Yeah.
Knowing what's going on, and there'll be text exchanges going on. That.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Bri will be famous for something like, you know, holy crap, you know, or something like that, and I'll. What right. happened? Like, you know, that type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll have it on at the Roscoe Diner as you're driving by. I don't know.
You're aware of the Roscoe Diner?
Of course. So I passed that.
I drive by it
35,000 times.
Really?
You probably got me beat now. Yeah. Driving up to school, I think. Right? I must have.
Yeah. I mean, that's the exit I get off at. I get right off at the Roscoe Diner.
Darren goes there for breakfast every time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. There you go. I miss the diners. Yeah. We get texts from Brother Bri like that. And then I get texts from Hench out of nowhere. Russ Bev Nunn, 1-for-25. What is that? Oh, the Lakers are terrible.
Westbrook. Is that what those three guys are shooting?
Yeah, that's what it is. Clippers won by six.
By six?
Wasn't it six and a half?
Did it close at six or six and a half?
I saw both.
I saw five and a half at one point too yesterday.
Interesting. Kawhi played 21 minutes at 14 points. The six for 12.
They were 1-for-25 combined, those three players.
What's their over-under now for wins when they have that backup?
I don't know. But I think all their games, just going to be like last year, right? It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, and AD's eventually getting hurt. Come on.
He's going to the bench, Russ, right? That's got to be it. Anyway, I don't even know why I care this much. All right, Harry, let's get to yours. You're not going UFC here.
No, I'm going to go NFL. And Sal, you know how I like to bet and everything. And More than I hate laying points. I hate laying double-digit points, but I'm doing it this week. I'm laying the 10.5 with Tampa over Carolina. Now, I know the Bucs have not scored more than 21 points.
Wow.
I haven't scored more than 21 points.
It's 13 now.
Yeah, come on, Harry. Don't embarrass yourself.
13, is it?
Yeah, because McCaffrey's gone.
Yeah, they lost their generational player. Yeah, so
he hasn't done much this year, but 13.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened in the middle of the show. Sorry.
didn't you think it might move? But go ahead. What are you gonna do?
Okay, well, 13.
You still like it, or were they gonna win by 12? And now you're worried. What are you?
Okay, listen. I'll lay it. I'll lay the 13.
Who cares?
If Tampa has only scored more than 21 one time all year, and that was against Kansas City, who they're just trying to keep up with.
It's 15 and a half now.
Yeah, shush. All right. But this is a perfect game for Brady and the Bucs to get right. I mean, this whole thing with McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson last week, too, on the field. Team is a total disarray. Carolina has just four total touchdowns out of quarterbacks this season. And Brady in a Bucs uniform versus Carolina is not only just 4-0 against the spread, but he's won all of them by 17 or more, three of them by 23 or more. Give me Tampa Bay, whether it's 10.5, 13.5, 15.5, Tampa rolls Carolina.
All right. I mean, I feel like the analysis, and they could very well beat them, but I felt the same way against Pittsburgh. Like, they're a shell of the team. Like, Damashek couldn't name some of the players on defense. Everybody's injured, you know, and then something weird happens. But yeah, Brady has to start throwing touchdowns and stop throwing tablets right at some point. So I don't think that's bad. What's the final score there, Harry?
Tampa Bay 41, Carolina 16.
All right. Well, what are you worried about? 2-3 points there.
Yeah.
All right.
So don't worry about it.
I don't like that.
Don't worry about it, Harry.
Okay. You got to go against them.
I mean, what? You got to go against Carolina.
Yeah. Brian, I'm going to go with you, though. Oliveira. I like that. I write root not for him. He's a live dog. I know he's going against a monster there, but
maybe
I'm not going to be around to see it anyway.
Maybe you shouldn't have picked that this week, right? You didn't pick last week and we all won?
Did I not pick? Really?
I don't think so. And we all won.
Yeah, you didn't pick.
I might not have. Yeah, I just went right into the ending
there,
huh?
Yeah.
Huh. That's too late.
Even Parley Kid won.
Yeah.
Plus 600. I mean,
yeah, right. That was a banger.
It won 6 weeks worth. I can't take it back, Brian. I went with it. I don't know. We could edit it out of the podcast, but everybody knows here that I did pick it. All right. There you go.
I like it.
Oliveira right there. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. No way McCaffrey plays for the Niners this week, right?
I don't know.
But,
could he?
I got the under in that game. I hope he doesn't.
Well, it did go down slightly, that line, but no, he can't play. They don't do it that way. They'll wait for me to bet the Chiefs
takes a week for them to figure
out. Yeah, paperwork. You got to get your insurance goes through, all that stuff. You know.
However, Anderson did play. He did play for the Cardinals tonight.
I don't know why I think it's different for a receiver.
He do anything tonight?
Nothing. Yeah, but he was on the field.
He didn't come until, he barely was on the field.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Harry, where are you watching games this week? Weekend?
This week I'm going to be home. I'm going to be here in Scottsdale. That's it.
Wow. Wow. What a treat. And the white Angie's there too. Angie Gagnon is there.
Angie Gagnon is here. We're going to just watch games together. That's about it. Yeah. No plans.
It's like you're either away or she gets to watch games with you at home. That's fun.
Pretty good. That's how it rolls.
I like
pretty
it.
Good, right, Brian?
Pretty good.
Well, she has a Netflix password, so it's all good. It's all coming around. All right, there you go. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. That's where you do all our prizes for spaghetti, for meatballs, for the degenerate trifecta. I'm Sal Singh. So long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na